Hello there, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington. The jump season is cranking into gear and there's some fantastic TV action, and joining me to look ahead to that are Tom Collins, and I'm delighted to say it's the most overdue debut I can think of in the history of postcasts. How has it taken this long for Richard Birch to join us? Never mind, better late than never. Birchie, we're delighted to have you. Is this one of those weekends where you're looking ahead with confidence, or are you slightly treading carefully?
Bit of both, really. I mean, I prefer betting in sort of the over jumps, the 0 to 120 range. So, you know, you've got every valuable handicap under the sun at Ascot and Wetherby. So it's sort of out of my comfort zone, but we'll have a go.
You're being far too modest, my friend. Here's what we've got coming up. We've got five races on ITV at Wetherby on Saturday, including the Charlie Hall Chase. We've got four at Ascot. The Gold Cup hero Minella Indo reappears at Down Royal. There's two great races there. Envoy Allen is running there. We'll see what else the boys fancy on Saturday. We'll get the Saturday naps. And then there's a decent race at Carlisle on Sunday, and we'll see if there is any value there. Let's get stuck into Wetherby first, though, and we will start with the 120, which is the Bet365 Handicap Chase. There's plenty of runners here. It's a tricky old start, chaps. Roughly speaking, 7-2 Jericho Rock, 5-1 Revels Hill, 8-1 Sizing at Midnight, 9-1 Tanar Pino and Corrin Cross, and it's 10-1 Bar. And Birchie, fire us off with a winner if you can, my friend.
Well, if this wins, you're going to be rewarded at a big price, because I like the look of Breeland Dar. It's absolutely tumbled down the weights. When he was with Paul Nicholls at around this time last year, he was running in races like the Bet Victor Gold Cup off marks of around 143. Incredibly, he's down to a sub-120 rating now. He's got Kevin Brogan, who's very talented, taking £3 off as well. He's around 20-1, I think, when I looked this morning. And he will love, there's been lots of rain at Wetherby. I think the ground will be soft tomorrow. Everything's in his favour. And if he comes back to anything like the form he's capable of, he could win this.
Lovely stuff. Birchie, just tell us quickly about jockeys. I mean, different tipsters have different opinions about the importance of jockeys. Is it something you put a lot of stock on?
If I can find a very good £7 claimer, I would, on the flat, I would rather back a £7 claimer, taking £7 off, than a so-called top jockey. I just think that the weight taken off is such an important factor.
And on the flat right now, who's your favourite £7 claimer? Who's your go-to?
There isn't one. There's plenty who I don't like.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. TC, first up, how are you feeling about the weekend? Confident?
It's a very tricky weekend, Bruce. Probably easier than last weekend, though. We're out of that two-week limbo period now between the flat and the jump season. I feel like the jump season is kicking into gear. Hopefully, we can get a few winners this week.
Okay, we'll fire away with your first selection of the weekend for us, Tom.
Well, Birchie's giving you the each-way value play in this field. I personally came up with a different approach. I thought it was between the two chasing debutants at the top of the market, Jericho Rock and Revels Hill. I thought they stood out against some kind of regressive rivals. I personally found it really difficult to split them on pure form basis alone. So Revels Hill has to be the selection, given he's a bigger price. Harry Fry's horses are in great form. I think that's the main key with him. 12 of Harry Fry's last 15 runners in the last 2 weeks have finished fourth or better. This six-year-old is sure to improve for the switch defences. He's a big, sizable and scopey individual. I think he'll make into a great chaser. And he won a point-to-point before he started racing under rules. So Revels Hill is the selection. But I wouldn't be surprised if Jericho Rock actually just won as favourite.
Okay, we're off and running. 155 at Wetherby. Some mares races are a bit... blimey, another mares race. This is a cracker. It's the Bet365 mares hurdle. Over 2 miles, Miranda 9-4, Molly Ollie's Wishes 3-1, Marie's Rock 100-30, Her Indoors is 6s, 7 Zambella, and it's 10s Bar. What do you make of this, Tom?
Yeah, it's a really good race, Bruce. Miranda, Marie's Rock, her indoors, they've all shown good promise. But I just think this is going to be a good penalty kick for Molly Ollie's wishes. This is a mark-dropping grade. She took on Brewing Up a Storm, Mook Fabulous, Call Me Lord, Reserve Tank in the National Spirit when she was last seen in Feb. She's had a summer break since. Harry Skelton usually gets his hurdlers ready first time up off a break. She drops down to listed level from grade two, back against her own sex, and she's surely the class angle in the field. Now, there's two caveats to her. One is the drop back to 2 miles. I think that's a question mark, given her form predominantly comes over 2.5 miles or 3 miles. But she does look to have possessed plenty of speed, and she's going to set the tempo up front. I don't think it's going to be too much of a negative, the dropping trip. However, what could be the negative is the fact that she treats her hurdles with scant regard. That's probably enough to put me off a bet, but I think she's the most likely winner.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I mean, I looked at Molly Ollie's wishes and I thought, why is she 3-1? I think, you know, the trainers' names really do affect the market in jumps racing. And I think that at a lower level, if it's a Huntingdon or a Ludlow or whatever, I think a Skelton horse can sometimes get overbet. But I think at the top level, when you've got a Skelton against a Nichols and a Hendo and a King, as you've got here, I think sometimes he gets a little bit disrespected in the market. And I just wonder whether that was the case with this race. So Molly Ollie's wishes is Tom's selection. Birchie, who do you like here?
Agree with both of what you chaps have just said. I think Molly Ollie's wishes a win. I think she should be favourite. I think the soft ground will suit her. Tom mentioned that she, you know, likes to go to the front, so that counters any fear about the drop-in trip. You know full well, being a Dan Skelton, she's going to be 100% prime first time out. I think she'll take a hell of a lot of beating.
Jolly good. I like to hear that. Right then, 2:30 is the Bet 365 hurdle, a grade two over 3 miles. What a field we got. Paisley Park, favourite at twos. It's drifted all week. 2-1 for the old champion. Thomas Derby, 7-2. Master Tommy Tucker, 9-2. Indefatigable, 6-1. Ron Frost, great to one. 12-1 bar. Birchie, at what price does Paisley Park become appealing from a betting perspective?
It's a difficult one, Bruce, because I don't think Paisley Park is as good as he once was. Is he going to win a Stayers Hurdle again? The answer is probably no. Is he going to win a Bet 365 Hurdle first time out at Wetherby conceding weight all round? If this had been maybe last year or the year before, you'd have said 100% certain yes. But I'm not so sure now. There's a horse in this race who I'm really keen on. Indefatigable, right down at the bottom, gets all the allowances. And the thing I like most about this mare is that, you know, Paisley Park will surely have bigger paydays on his horizon later in the season. Indefatigable, this is 100% her Gold Cup. She's going to be absolutely prime for the race. She had a win on the flat a few weeks ago, won nicely. The ground's right for her. The trip's right for her. The track's right for her. The time of year's right for her. Everything's right for her. And I think she's overpriced.
Brilliant stuff. One thing you already know about Birchie, and it's clear, obviously, having read all his stuff down the years, never one to sit on that fence. Tom, what do you make of this race?
It's a really good race, Bruce. I'm really looking forward to it. Perhaps more so than the Charlie Hall that we'll cover in a second. The return of Paisley Park. Thomas Derby, who I backed a couple of times last year without success, but he remains a horse that's open to plenty of improvement, I think, despite the fact he's an 8-year-old. However, I'm going to take the pair on. Much like Birchie saying that this is going to be the main target for Indefatigable, I think this may be the main target for Master Tommy Tucker as well.
Oh, I wondered if anyone... I've got this down as a trap horse. You've fallen into it. You may be right, but I can't make him out here. I don't know whether it's an act of genius or desperation or somewhere in between from Nichols. So come on, tell me why I'm wrong to be dubious about Master Tommy Tucker.
Well, no, I'd had the same debate in my head as you've just mentioned there. However, I erred on the side that this is an inspired switch by Paul Nichols, moving back to hurdles from fences. He showed so much ability in the last two seasons over fences. It's just the fact that he was making bone-crunching errors that were costing him races. I mean, if you look at his record fresh, for example, he's won 3 times, finished second once, and fallen twice. And on both those occasions, he was going to win. Now he comes back fresh. Paul Nichols switches into hurdles, and he's unbeaten over hurdles, 2 from 2. He's clearly got plenty of talent, and he's coming up against Paisley Park, who Birchie said is probably not his best, and I agree, who has to give him £6 as well. Thomas Darby, I think, will have better paydays to come, as Bertie mentioned, for Paisley Park as well. I think this is going to, everything kind of just suits Master Tommy Tucker here. And providing he has the speed and you know, fancies the revert back to hurdles, I think he's a major player. And 5-1 is a bettable price for me.
Okay, let's move on to the race of the day. It's 3:05 at Weatherby. It's the Bet365 Charlie Hall Chase over 3 miles. Surname is 11-10. Clondor Castle 9-2. Shamblue 5-1. Fusel Raffles 11-2. It's 12-1 bar. Tom, what do you do about a problem called Surname?
Oh, that's a great question. What did we learn last year? We learned that he could go left-handed when he won this race last season, and then that was it. We learned nothing else. He was so disappointing on his final two runs. He comes back after a wind surgery, which, I mean, it kind of has to be seen as a positive, given he was pulled up last time in the Ascot Chase, and Harry Cobden got off and said that his wind was the problem. You can't have any confidence in backing him at 6-5. Now, if he repeats last year's victory, he probably, the performance, sorry, he probably wins this race doing handstands. But you've got to take him on, I think, looking at the prices. Shamblue is the most likely horse, in my opinion, to shock the favourite, if you want to say shock, although it wouldn't be a shock if he did lose. He just jumps fences brilliantly. He won a couple of handicap chases here at this track to kick off last season before he won the Quarto Star at Kempton, which proved he was a proper grade one horse. I think he probably would have gone close in the marsh at the Cheltenham Festival as well if Harry Skelton didn't go for home about a mile too soon. So Shamblue is probably the horse most likely to put it up to Surname. I would like to see Surname bounce back, as he was once rated the highest jumps horse in training, but I can't be weighing in at 6-5, Bruce.
What are you going to do with this one, Birch? Are you going to get stuck in or leave it alone?
Well, it's funny because last year, I think he was available the night before at 5-4 or 6-4. And then probably due to all the stuff we wrote in the Racing Post, actually, we were all saying that, you know, and it wasn't just us. It was, you know, it was journalists, it was owners, trainers, everyone was saying he didn't want to go left-handed. Would he stay 3 miles? I remember that day I was doing some trainer quotes for that meeting, and I spoke to Harry Cobden while he was walking the course the day before. And the thing that I learned from Harry Cobden talking that day was he had absolutely no doubts in his mind whatsoever that this horse, A, was a stone better than his rivals, B, he would go left-handed naturally, and C, 3 miles was no problems at all. And I couldn't believe it. I didn't back him. It was one of those occasions when I really should have backed him. He drifted out to 3-1, absolute ridiculous price, and he bolted up. He was still on the bridle at the second last, and he absolutely hosed up. It's a slightly different feeling this year, because I can't see there being that much weight of opinion against him, so that he's going to drift out to 3-1 again. Maybe he'll be 2-1, 15-8. I don't know, but I can't see him having such a monster drift again. I think I've never really liked the horse, if I'm honest. I don't think he's got quite as much in hand as the ratings suggest. But there again, I don't think it's a vintage Charlie Hall. In a nutshell, I think he'll win, but I wouldn't be backing him.
Yeah, it's a real puzzle, this one, for sure. And I think the trouble is, as well, with 7 runners, you can't even take one on against him each way, can you? But it's a fascinating one, for sure. I mean, you just do not know what to expect with Surname. Okay, also, where there'll be a 5-race TV bonanza, we've got the 3:40, which is the Bet365 handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. Doesn't get any easier. 5-1 Mackenberg, 13-2 Our Surprise, 7-1 Pagero, 7 Rattle Owl, 8 Bar. Have you sussed one for us here, Birchie?
Yeah, this is much more my type of race, and I've got one for everyone at the back here. Sheriff Garrett, down the bottom. Tom Midgley claiming £7. This horse might be pigeonholed as a bit of a Hexham specialist. He's done most of his recent racing there. He's won a few round there, and he's very good front running. They started during the middle of the summer. They changed the tactics from holding him up to setting the pace, and it really suited him. Now, he's, in my mind, Sheriff Garrett, He's a very genuine galloper. He's best suited by 2.5 miles on soft ground. He's been running career bests at Hexham all summer on good ground. Now he gets the chance to race on soft ground. He's been dropped. I think he's been dropped £3 for his last two defeats, of which neither of them, he really had a, you know, I didn't fancy him on either occasion because he was carrying masses of weight on unsuitable ground. So I think everything's in his favour tomorrow. I love the fact they've put Tom Midgley on claiming seven. I think he's a really strong bet. I'll be backing him tomorrow.
Oh, Birchie goes down the pitch and smashes one over the boundary. Love that. Tom, follow that. That's a very persuasive case, wasn't it? That was like DJ in his pomp. You know when DJ kicks into overdrive and just goes on and you're just like, whoa, I can't oppose this. But can you, Tom?
No, I can't. I looked at this race for a long period of time, decided that it wasn't a punting race at all. It's the last one on ITV on Saturday, and I'll probably be turning off before it, Bruce.
I won't be now. I should be having a little bit on Sheriff Garrett. Right, that was Weatherby. Ascot is next.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back. It's Bruce Millington, Richard Birch and Tom Collins looking ahead to Ascot's four ITV4 races on Saturday. We'll start at the 1:35, the Ascot Underwriting Chase. It's a novices limited handicap. It's over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. And Anthony Honeyball trains the favourite, who is Kid Commando, at round about 2-1. All the prices I quote to you today, by the way, are rough. Do shop around, not just for best prices, but for best each way terms. Second favourite, Solo, at 4-1, along with Sam Barton and Nas Alam. It's 9-1 bar. So we've just got the 7 runners, which is annoying because it means there's no each way action. Have you got anything that catches your eye here, Tom Collins?
It's going to be a good race. Again, I think this race is going to produce plenty of subsequent winners. No surprise to see Kid Commando at the top of the market. He's best caught when fresh. He's probably going to attract plenty of support, and I doubt he'll go off as big as 2-1 as well. I just don't like the fact he's coming here off a first-time Windup. It's an angle that I adopt virtually all year long on the flat hand jumps. I just like second time up and first time up. I don't really trust them to be able to breathe or to know that they can breathe. So I want to take him on. Sizable Sam and Sam Barton are really exciting chases going forward. But I think this might be the day for Nas Alam. He recorded an aggregate winning margin last year in his first two starts at Fontwell of 108 lengths. He had plenty in hand, obviously, as proven by the massive winning margin. And then he finished second to Adagio and second to Mon Morale on his next two runs. Those two horses finished in the first two positions in the Grade 1 four-year-old hurdle at Aintree in the Grand National meeting. So the form was franked. He's been crying out for this step up and trip from 2 miles. The flat track is perfect for him. I think Nas Alam's going to be primed first time up and can beat Kid Commando.
Okay, Birchie, what's your view here?
Totally agree. Nas Alam for me. The older I get, and I'm, 54 years old now, there's some things you sort of learn later in your punting life. And one thing that I've learned over the last 2 years is that when a horse wins by a long distance, it doesn't matter whether at some stage further down the line, it's going to win another race. I don't care what quality of race is, whether it's won a seller by 8 lengths or whether, as Nas Alam did, he won a juvenile hurdle at Fontwell by 49 lengths and then another one by 59 lengths. Okay, he was massively, massively, massively superior to all his opponents on both those occasions. But, you know, I just think that when a horse is so superior to other horses in any type of race, there's going to be another sort of opportunity further down the line where it can show its rampant superiority again. In this race, as Tom says, Nas Alam has got everything in his favour. This Ascot card, I think Paul Keeley noted it in the weekend of this week. Absolutely, Gary Moore's one of favourite meetings of the year. He primes everything for this meeting. He's got 3 or 4 very good opportunities on the card. And I think he's going to start off with a winner here. Very exciting horse, Nas Alam. I think he'll win.
The boys both fancy Nas Alam and make very strong cases. Let's move on to the 2:10 at Ascot, the Bateau London handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Boot Hill is favourite for Harry Fry at 3-1. Soaring Glory, Burlington Bertie, Ajiro 6s, Megan 9s, Wild Max and Leon Carvalho are 10s. It's 12-1 bar. We've got 14 runners, so you would hope some bookmakers would be betting 4, and you might even get 5 places if you shop around. And let's start with Birchie. Who should we be backing here?
Fascinating race. I've done the trainer quotes for the Racing Post for this race this morning, and I spoke to Harry Fry. My question to Harry Fry about Boot Hill was, firstly, how did he get a mark of 135 after just one run over hurdles? And is 135, were you pleased to get 135? Well, he's not going to say he's absolutely chucked in on 135, is he? But he gave me the distinct impression that he was very happy with that mark. He says the horse is going to have this one run over hurdles before he goes chasing. He thinks he's going to be a very, very exciting chaser in the future. I think he's right. I think 135 is probably fair. But it's a very, very, very competitive race, and you're looking at 3-1. I'm a big fan of Leon Cavallo. I've liked him throughout his career. I thought he ran a blinder in the Welsh Champion Hurdle a couple of weeks ago, where arguably he would have gone very close to winning if he hadn't have bungled the second last. I think he's going to run a good race with Fergus Gillard taking £3 off. But at the risk of being boring, Soaring Glory was such an exciting novice last year. You know, towards the end of the season, he ran in all those good races and he absolutely bolted up in the Betfair Hurdle. He's gone up in the weights, but I think he could potentially still be a class above these. And I think it's also interesting that Tom Scudamore doesn't ride the baby pipe Leon Cavallo here. He's gone to ride Soaring Glory for John Joe O'Neill. So I think that's a tip in itself.
Sure. Soaring Glory then for Birchie. Who for you, Tom?
It's going to be Boot Hill, but just to Soaring Glory, he was one of my best bets last season when he won the Betfair Hurdle. I really love this horse. I think he's going to have a cracking campaign. But Boot Hill was one of my five horses to follow in the big jump-off that came out a couple of weeks ago, or last week, whenever it was. I think he's got a real exciting future ahead of him, probably over fences, but this is going to, as Birchie just said, this is going to be his like prep race before he goes over the bigger obstacles. He possesses so much ability. Last year, he was really impressive. He's actually my only bet so far at the time of recording. I managed to snatch a bit of 4-1 early in the week. Nothing too spectacular, but a point better than the current price.
Lovely stuff. And the big jump off that Tom mentioned there, I think you can still get that. If you go onto racingpost.com, you can find out where you can get that. It's still knocking about in some news agents, and it is the most fantastic guide. Absolutely superb. Right then, 2:45 at Ascot, the Burn Group Handicap Chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong. I wouldn't want to be commentating on this. There's a lot of unpronounceables. Editeur du Gite is 130. Amoula Gold, 11-2. Frère Bamboo, 6. Grey Diamond, 6. 1 for Rosie, 13-2. Sully Dock, 13-2. 8-1. Bar Tom, lead on.
Well, a handful of jumping mistakes cost Editeur du Gite at this meeting last year. And he was run down in the closing stages by Sully Dock. Or Sully Dock, however you want to pronounce it. I'm happy to take a chance that a similar scenario will play out, though I wouldn't be completely against Editeur du Gite reversing the form. As Birchie's already mentioned, this is Gary Moore's meeting. He's going to have him prime first time up. I just love the way that Sully Dock ran down Editeur du Gite and stuck at his guns all the way to the wire. He jumped the last beautifully while Editeur du Gite made a mistake. I think the pace scenario in here is interesting because there are plenty that want to go forward. Editeur du Gite's around 130. Sully Dock's around 11-2. I think Sully Dock's the value play.
And who do you think's the value play, Richard?
Can't split Frère Bamboo, one of the unpronounceables, or Grey Diamond. They're both ran behind Editeur du Gite in the Red Rum Chase at Aintree last spring. I think, by my calculations, Frère Bamboo is £10 better off with Editeur du Gite, and Grey Diamond is £9 better off. So, although as Gary Moore will have Editeur du Gite fully primed for this race, I think Frère Bamboo is only a six-year-old, plenty of scope for improvement, second season chaser. You know, if you're looking at big sort of Ascot meetings throughout the year, which trainers habitually target these valuable 50 grand, 100 grand handicaps, one of the first people you'd mention would be Venetia Williams. So I'll take Frère Bamboo, but I'll be very worried about Grey Diamond.
Which year would I first have met you, Birchie? How long have we known each other, mate?
It would have been a dog meeting. It probably would have been Catford. It probably would have been 1989.
I think it could even be further back than that. It's a long, long time. It's well before Tom Collins is born. I think that's the first time I've ever called you Richard. I will never do it again. Don't worry.
Yeah, that's right. Absolute sacrilege.
Sorry. 3:20 at Ascot is the Batto London Gold Cup over 3 miles. Vindication 11-4 Fav, John BB 13-2, Regal Encore 15-2, One More Flurry 15-2, Jerry's Back is 8, Sojourn 10. Birch, is this one of those races where you just look at it and say, yeah, favourite's a good thing, I'm tipping that, or is there more to it than that? I found this quite tricky, I must say.
I think there's more to it. I mean, Vindication, you know, if we were doing this podcast 12 months ago, Vindication was going to displace Surname as favourite for the Charlie Hall. So at that stage, 12 months ago, he was extraordinarily well regarded, not just by Kim Bailey, but by the punting public in general.
And he obviously ran very well at Weatherby, didn't he?
And he did run, he did run very well at Weatherby. But since then, things haven't, you know, quite worked out, and he's arguably regressed. So he comes into this race, which is it's a 100 grand race, as you'd expect, it would be absolutely fiercely competitive, and he's got 11 stone 12 on his back. My gut inclination would be to oppose him because of those reasons outlined. And the one I like is another disappointing horse, Jerry's Back. He's only got 10 stone 6 on his back. He was favourite for a race, a very similar race to this at Ascot last February, I think it was, and when I backed Musical Slave in the race. And Jerry's Back, he was disappointing. Lots of people expected him to win. He was disappointing. But then you go back and you remember how out of form at that time Philip Hobbs was. He didn't have a particularly good season at all. Since the sort of proper jump season has started this month, Philip Hobbs has been in, you know, he's back to his best in all conquering form. I think there's plenty of mileage in Jerry's Back's mark now, so he'd be the one I fancy, Jerry's Back.
Birchie, if we go back to December 2018, so nearly 3 years ago, there was a novice chase at Ascot. Vindication beat Jerry's Back by a length and a half off levels. Tomorrow, Jerry's Back gets £20 off Vindication.
Well, there you go. You've been doing your research and I haven't, so that's
well. It's 3 years old. It is very, very stale form, but it does give you a little bit of hope. So Jerry's Back for Birchie. Tom, who are you going to go for?
I'm so glad that Birchie went first because I thought I was going to get a load of stick by putting up Jerry's Back because his jumping is just so bad, but he's just incredibly well handicapped, and I just think you have to chance him in this race. He's going to be well suited by the electric early gallop as well. There's so many horses that want to go forward. Sometimes if you don't take a risk, sometimes if you don't take a risk, you won't get the reward, and I think Jerry's Back is a good risk here.
Okay, I must admit, I would have liked Hobbs to have been a little bit more bullish in his stable tour in the Racing Post this week. He said, oh, he's just been really disappointing, but we'll persevere and see what happens. Okay, in 10 seconds time, we're going to look ahead to some fantastic racing at Down Royal.
Racing Post Members Club is the only subscription that includes access to the Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive premium content, including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. As a listener of the Postcast, you can enter the code POSTCAST21, that's POSTCAST21, to get 50% off your first 3 months. Head to racingpost.com, click on subscribe, and choose Get Ultimate Monthly to get started. That's code POSTCAST21.
Window is in action for the first time this season in the 250 at Down Royal over in Northern Ireland in the Ladbrokes Champion Chase. A 3 miler that always, always oozes quality. This year is no exception. Just the 5 runners, but they're all good ones. Minella Indo currently round about 10 to 11. Frodon over from Paul Nichols is with Bryony Frost riding 11 to 4. Galvin very much in form, 4 to 1. Delta Works 17 to 2. And Ravenhill is 50 to 1. What's the approach going to be here, Tom? Some race this could be, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could be a great race. Obviously, Frodon's probably the most loved racehorse in Britain. He would write the storylines if he won this. And Paul Nichols has a reasonable record at Down Royal. Galvin as well, people are touting him for the Gold Cup this year. I think he's more of a Grand National horse myself. And he has £16 fined on ratings. Delta Work never runs really well first time up. He'll be a horse to avoid. Ravenhill needs basically to improve about 2 stone to win. So I think it'd be a massive shock if Manila Indo didn't win. Look, I'd love to see Frodon get his head in front again, but this jolly just has plenty in hand. And he just proved last year at Cheltenham that he's a class above in this field. I think he beat Frodon by 34 lengths the last time they met. The margin won't be the same here, but I'd be surprised if he got turned over.
Okay, Birchie, do you see it that way as well?
Yeah, exactly the same. Frodon's going to be absolutely spot on, I would think, for this race. There's absolutely no point Paul Nicholls sending him over there if he isn't. So I think Frodon will run a massive race, and I'd be very surprised if he's not in the first two. But equally so, there's no reason why Manila Indo won't be, you know, 90-95% fit for this race. And he's the Gold Cup winner. He uses class. I think he'll win.
Lovely stuff. That is on ITV4. Not on ITV4, but still very much worthy of mention, is the 3:25 at Down Royal. It's the Join Racing TV Chase over 2.5 miles. And Envoi Alain is favourite at 1-3. Cocoa Beach 11-2. Vado Forte 7-1. 11-1 Fairy Hill Run. And then we've got a couple of rank outsiders. Just very quickly, chaps. I mean, if you look at Envoi Alain, Birchie, you know, his last two form figures are F and P, but valid excuses for both. Are you still a believer in this horse?
Don't like horses who finish lame. I mean, he finished lame at Punchestown on his last race. And I've got a couple of punting rules. One is I never bet horses who bleed. If it says in the form book, bled or burst blood vessel, never, ever back them. And I've got a similar policy with horses that finish lame. If I my head says if I finish lame once, I can finish lame again. So although he's obviously got supreme freakish natural ability, and in this race tomorrow, he might not come under significant pressure, so that, you know, he'd be absolutely fine. But in the back of my mind, I would always have, you know, if he has to come under maximum pressure, is he going to finish lame again? So I should just watch the race and hope that he wins, but he would never be a punting proposition for me going forward.
Interesting stuff, Birchie. What's your approach going to be here, Tom?
It's just going to be to watch the race and see what we learn from Envoi Alain. I think we need him to bounce back. He was obviously extremely exciting, looked untouchable after his first 11 starts. But the fact he fell at Aintree and they pulled up last time at Punchestown, I think it leaves him with a question to answer. If he bounces back, which he should on official ratings and just looking at the form and the horses he's against, then it's just going to be great moving forward for the rest of the season. I'd just love to see him romp home. But yeah, it's most certainly a watching brief for me.
Okay, excellent. Let's see what else the boys fancy away from the TV cameras. We've obviously got the rest of Down Royal, the rest of Ascot, the rest of Wetherby. There's a flat meeting at Newmarket. They're over the sticks at Musselburgh. And then in the evening, we've got All Weather Fair from Wolverhampton. So we'll start with you, Tom. What have you got for us? Don't give your nap away.
Yeah, two US fancies. Obviously, we're building up towards the Breeders' Cup next weekend. It's going to be brilliant. Looking forward to it. This weekend, there's not much class about. There's a Grade 2 at Keeneland and a couple of stakes races at Belmont, but nothing too spectacular. Two horses, though. First is Ice Princess in the 9:21 at Belmont Park. The heavens are expected to open in New York, much like we've had in Basingstoke, actually, this morning. The main track will ride really sloppy, which will suit this filly. She's recorded 3 of her 4 career victories on and off track. She's also likely to benefit sitting off the early speed duel. And the other selection...
Hang on a sec. Sorry, Tom. I've just got to jump in there, because I'm a stickler for saying the race time. What I always like it with your American tips, you say what number race it is, but I think you might have overlooked it there. So what number's that one?
A very good question. Not one that I've got the answer to.
Okay, don't worry. What time is it again? Give us that.
It's the 9:21 at Belmont Park.
Jolly good. Okay, and the other one is?
The other selection is King Fury in the 10:16 at Keeneland, the featured race. He's 9-2 on the morning line in the US. That is ludicrous. He won't go off any bigger than 3-1. This horse finished 2nd in the Ohio Derby. He won the Lexington on a sloppy track at the spring meeting at Keeneland earlier this year. Won by 13 lengths and a hat canter last time at Churchill Downs. If he isn't banged there at the finish, then I don't know what I'm talking about. King Fury in the 10:16 at Keeneland.
Birchie, I don't think that Tom has stolen your thunder with either of those selections, has he?
No, the Belmont Park I know is in Surrey, not far from you, Bruce.
You used to walk your dog around there, didn't you?
I used to walk my retired greyhound around there, yeah. Right, We're going to Dunstall Park, not Belmont Park. We're going to Wolverhampton Races tomorrow night. And we fancy, in the 5 o'clock, we fancy number 6, Hillary's Boy. Now, I tipped this up. I put a two-pointer up in my Tuesday column a couple of weeks ago. And when I put a two-pointer up, it means one of two things. Either I think it's going to be overpriced, so there's a great punting opportunity, or I think it's got such an outstanding chance that you've got to put a two-pointer up. On this occasion, it was a combination of both. I saw the early price from a bookmaker was 6-1. In my head, I made it a 5-2 shot. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I had a significant bet on it at 6-1 and 11-2. Horse went off 4-1, which I thought was still big. There wasn't, a great masses of money for it that I'd expected. And if I'm honest, it ran absolutely appallingly. Finished, never really got into the race at Yarmouth. Over 6 furlongs, good to soft ground. There'd been a bit of rain before that meeting, so you could possibly argue it didn't like the ground. And prior to that, he'd been very, very progressive, winning a race, a nursery at Thirsk, and a race on the all-weather at Chelmsford. Still very, very well handicapped in my eyes. He's going back onto the all-weather tomorrow, stepping up in trip to 7 furlongs. Unless I'm completely wrong about the horse, he should win tomorrow.
Hillary's Boy in the 5 o'clock. Excellent. Anything else for us?
No.
Okay, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Richard Birch. What have you got? If you're only having one bet on Saturday, who would it be on, mate?
Sheriff Garrett at Weatherby.
And that's in the, let's have a look. That's in the
340.
340 at Weatherby. Thank you, Birchie. Tom, your nap is?
I'm going to put up a double. Master Tommy Tucker in the 230 at Weatherby. I think he's going to bounce back, and I'm believing in him, Bruce.
Okay.
I'm believing. And the other one, which is just 7 minutes earlier, hence why it's a quick fire double. It's State Occasion in the 223 at Newmarket for Rafe Beckett, Rob Hornby, improving 3-year-old filly. I thought she shaped like the best horse in the race over 1 mile 2 at Newmarket last time out earlier this month. She now drops down in trip to a mile, which I think is perfect. Really well handicapped off a mark of 84. And at around 4-1, she's a good value bet.
Nice one. We always like a King Rafe on this show. Okay, on Sunday, we've got the Cork National at 3 o'clock. And there's also a very good race up at Carlisle. It takes place at 2 o'clock. It's the Colin Parker Memorial Intermediate Chase. Invariably a very, very good guide for what's going to happen in future. We've got 6 runners, Silver Hallmark, Espoir de Romay, Fiddler on the Roof, Informateur, Ahoy Senor, and Pay the Piper. Birch, you haven't seen any prices yet. Have you seen anything? And if so, is there anything that catches your eye in terms of value?
Haven't seen the prices. The two horses, you've mentioned both of them. Espoir de Romay, big chance on official ratings, very progressive last season, looks just the sort of type for this race. It wouldn't surprise me to see Silver Hallmark run very well either. He was very, very progressive as well last year. And this looks a very good starting point for a trainer who's in absolutely magnificent form. So it's going to be a good race. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Have you got anything for us on Sunday, Thomas?
No strong opinions at this stage. I mean, that Colin Parker shaped to be a very intriguing race. Kim Bailey won it last year with Imperial Aura. That really kick-started his what was supposed to be a blistering season. Espoir de Romay comes in with a similar profile. Interesting that Ahoy Senor is still in the field. I know he's just been withdrawn today from running at Weatherby. So Lucinda Russell obviously opting to go to Carlisle instead. And he won the Sefton so impressively, beat Brave Man's Game by 7 lengths. So it's going to be an intriguing race. A good match between those two, Silver Hallmark as well and Fiddler on the Roof, deserve mentions. I think that'll be a race where you need to get the tracker open, watch, see how all 6 horses perform, and then find out their future targets and go from there.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, gentlemen, that is really good. Thank you very much indeed for all your help. Birchie, have you enjoyed your podcast debut?
Yeah, very much so. I hope I haven't put people off listening to it.
No, not at all. And will you come back again, please?
Yeah, I will do, yeah, if it's on a Friday, yeah.
Good. You're now back on. You're very much part of the podcast team. Delighted to hear that. Now, Tom, we need you back next week because it's Del Mar. 2 fantastic days of Breeders' Cup action, all on ITV. Don't tell me you're having the week off.
Absolutely not. No, I think I'll be back, Bruce.
Good. I'm delighted to hear that. So join Maddie on Monday when they'll be reviewing the action, Maddie and the crew, and hopefully also giving you some tips for the Melbourne Cup, which takes place in the early hours of Tuesday. And then we're back next Friday to look ahead to the Breeders' Cup, plus some fantastic racing at Aintree and elsewhere. Enjoy the racing, bet responsibly, and join us next week.